April 26, 2022, public hearing on proposed local law 2 of 2022 at 6 o'clock. Public hearing on proposed local law 3 of 2022 at 6:10 p.m. Month-end meeting at 6:45 p.m. and regular town board meeting at 7 o'clock.
All right, we're going to get started this evening, and I'd like to welcome everyone to public hearing on local law 2 of 2022, generally described as the sewer ordinance update. And before we actually open up a public hearing, we do have some housekeeping to attend to, and that would be that the town board needs to declare itself lead agency for this unlisted action. So we need a resolution if someone will move that.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion carries unanimously. So at this time, I call the public hearing to order and ask that the deputy clerk please read the notice of the public hearing and the record.
Notice is hereby given pursuant to Section 20 of the Municipal Home Rule Law of the State of New York that a public hearing will be held by the Town Board of the Town of Monroe on April 26, 2022 at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Town Municipal Complex located at 351 Reynolds Road, Monroe, New York, for the purpose of considering the adoption of Local Law No. 2 of 2022. If adopted, Local Law No. 2 of 2022 would repeal Chapter 115 in its entirety and replace it with a new Chapter 115. Written comments on Local Law No. 2 of 2022 can be submitted to the town clerk up and through the time of the public hearing. A copy of proposed Local Law No. 2 of 2022 can be obtained on the Monroe Town Municipal Complex and on the town's website.
Thank you very much. And before we open it up for public comment, I would just ask our special counsel on that to provide a brief overview of what we're looking to accomplish with this. Counselor.
Thank you. The local law that you have in front of you simply sets forth the definitions and the manner and operation of the proposed sanitary sewer system within the town. It's relatively straightforward, and it also gets into the cost for both the capital and the on-end charges. That's really about it.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. So, just a little bit of housekeeping. Anyone who wishes to speak, we did have a sign-up list for tonight. We do have two public hearings. This first, obviously, of the two, and by resolution at our organizational meeting, any member of the public who wishes to be heard will have 5 minutes to address the board. Deputy Supervisor Noonan will be tasked with tracking the time allotment, and if you would, please come forward in the order that your name is called, state your name for the record, and your address. And with that, the first individual I have on the list is Travis Mitchell.
Thank you. Travis Mitchell with Property 860 Bluebird Road. What you're doing here tonight with this proposed local law, it's just not right. I'm sure the legality of it will be tested, but it's certainly not fair. And I wonder if you actually understand what you're doing, or if you just blindly trust in your consultants. The town board worked for 10 years, starting in 2009, to get the Route 9 commercial sewer district approved. You tried several times to include residential properties in the vote, and you simply it would not pass. Supervisor Kuznier, on June 18, 2018, sent a letter to those impacted property owners saying that the town board has agreed to modify the proposed sewer district boundary and remove remove residential class properties from the proposed sewer district. With this commitment, that the town board made for removing the residential class properties, the Route 9 sewer district finally passed. One vote. Now today, before the district is even finished, before the infrastructure is taking any sewer, you're forcing the residential class properties back into the sewer district through this back door. It's exactly what the town board committed they would not do to get that vote passed. Why? The premise of this is to preserve the quality of groundwater in the town. I call bull. Properly designed, constructed, and maintained septic systems simply do not pose a water quality problem in the town of Burrell. There's nothing more than an effort to lower the cost of the Route 9 sewer system. Practically the entire town is on septic systems. I'm sure many of you are on septic systems. I challenge you to ask your engineers to show you real data that shows that septic systems in the town of Burrell are causing water quality issues. Not some old home park that's not designed properly, but properly designed septic systems in the town. You won't find any. Why don't these residential property owners get the same opportunity to vote that the Route 9 property owners receive? Route 9 property owners clearly benefit from the sewer. They can't develop their property without it. The residential properties do not benefit. In fact, with the second law, you're reducing the density, just the opposite of what we expect you to be doing with sewer system. I'm an engineer. I've been involved in many sewer district formations myself. I've been doing this for a long time, and I can tell you that bringing these residential properties in through this back door is the most dishonest formation and expansion of the sewer district that I've ever seen. Thank you.
Next individual is Harry Gatto.
Tom, good evening. I just had a couple of comments on this. One is Article 12, Article 11, 115, 71, E, D. The interest charge is penalties of 10% a month. That seems like that must exceed the usury law. I don't know what usury laws are, but you know, most people are trying to pay their bills and do, but the interest rate is 10% each month after the initial period. That seems pretty steep penalty to me. In here, I didn't see anything on irrigation systems. I believe people are going to be held for their sewer based on their water readings, and I know the village had a lot of complaints at one time. They actually changed their billing methods, went to a flat rate, but Queensbury, a lot of communities had a separate, allow the property owner the option of putting in a second meter for their irrigation. Otherwise, people are going to be paying for sewer where the water's going into the ground, not to the sewer system. So that's something that the board may want to consider at some point in time. And then in the last page, on 115.78, Article 12, it talks about the council not be liable for any damage, loss, or any kind of property. And then it goes on and says, including negligence on the part of the department, its agents, its servants, or employees. It seems that the town is negligent. They should accept some responsibility. But I just think that might be a little overreaching. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Next individual is Luke Michaels.
Good evening. Luke Michaels, Michaels Group Homes. Our address is One Marion's Way, Walton, New York. So just in reference to law number two regarding sewer, I've also had some comments on the next law as well, but I'll try to keep this just to sewer, just to keep the record clear. I did send a letter to the town. I understand that was received as well. I had been in front of the board prior talking about the costs associated with bringing sewer to these projects. I'm involved in two projects that I've already been in front of the planning board. They've already been reviewed, had preliminary approvals, and that was all under the existing code. There's a number of us with these projects in town that have put in a tremendous amount of time and effort and dollars in seeing these projects through under the existing building. Those projects were well thought out, well laid out, and the planning board agreed. So here we are now after the moratorium, reviewing sewer, and we're looking at changing the way these projects work. In bringing sewer to these projects, we're looking at a minimal cost of $15,000 to $20,000 per lot. Now, that's our cost as a developer. By the time we build and sell the home, there's additional costs on top of that. There's the carry costs, management of it, warranty, all those things. And that goes right on to the sticker of the house. And we are in a housing affordability crisis right now. Not just here in Moreau, it's statewide, it's capital region-wide, it's across the country. But there is, housing affordability is one of the number one economic crises on our hands right now. We see it every day. Right now the market is changing. It's been a good market, but right now it's changing. Prices are higher than they've been ever, and rates are starting to come up. We're currently seeing active buyers step away, rethink, and reevaluate where they're going. We're trying everything we can do to keep these house prices reasonable and marketable to as many people as possible. We're going to add sewer and add these costs on these homes. We're just being put behind the eight ball. And when you step back and look at a project now, where we had a feasible project as little as 6 months ago, and now we have projects that are going to increase the cost of these homes, they no longer become feasible. And unfortunately, they may not come together. The biggest question I have with regards to sewer, if it passes, the question is when can we hook up? And when can we tie in the sewer? And when can we build a home that can allow homeowners to use their homes? Because as I understand it right now, there's not enough capacity to allow for these projects. And I don't know if that's going to be discussed tonight, what that's going to look like, but right now we don't have that capacity for these homes.
Next individual is Dan DeLucci.
I'm good with the zoning.
Okay. Gianna Simone.
Good evening. John Simone, I'm the owner of Simone Builders, 1589 Route 9. Thank you for your time. I don't think I need to bring rehash what we have and what I named the resolution and the moratorium and where our project stands. I pretty much agree with everything. Me and the Michaels group are on the same path, so no need to reiterate that part. So I'm going to have to start a little bit in the middle of my letter here. I do have a question. My attorney sent over a letter. I want to make sure it's received and do I have to read that into the record?
I have received in my office. I don't know if the clerk has it. Do you have it? So it will be part of it.
So we're good.
Yeah.
Okay. In regards to the sewer mostly, and I got to kind of sit here, but I'll start with this. We recently purchased a large parcel on Route 9, 44 acres. We had discussions in developing the parcel with several large retailers, franchise stores, as well as a bank. The common consensus among those businesses, Moreau needs more residential growth to sustain their investment on Route 9. So I think you guys should take advantage of the United Group of Developers that you have here in front of you, between landowners and builders. You've got the Michaels Group, Cerrone Builders, Skimmerhorn Real Estate Development, Travis Mitchell, all united to help find a common solution. But you guys have denied any and all assistance that we have offered in the past. I ask, has this plan designed by LaVerge been peer reviewed? Have all the decisions on these new laws been solely based on one firm idea? There is talk about the line of this that you want us to connect to the sewer. It does not have enough capacity, and it's currently holding up an approved plan to grow apartments to move forward in construction. If this is true, what is the plan for the same sewer line that goes to the industrial park to handle what is to be developed there? Also, if we are ultimately forced into the sewer, where is the capacity coming from, and when will it be available to use? As you know, we have planned to develop a business in the industrial park. that started out as a 30,000 square foot facility. Through major interest investors and countless meetings, we now have a possibility to quadruple that facility. This will cause a major sewer and water usage. How are we going to have that sewer usage on that same line? I'm really not sure what the goal is here, especially regards to local law number 3, which I know I have no sense to get up there, but if you're trying to stop residential growth, then you're heading in the right direction. Focus on commercial development the way sewers were meant and sold to the residents of this town, not on the backs of future residents. Actually, speaking of that, I'm not just one voice here. I am 49 voices to the potential customers at Chicago Acres. So I am morally and ethically standing up for them and the people we're purchasing the land from, because it's gone too long and too far. Let me get that to you. I apologize. Please consider the comments of the public, either vote no or leave the public hearing open. Have an executive session to really think, discuss, and understand what is putting in front of you and what you guys are trying to pass. Please consider how important the residential growth is for the overall growth of the Route 9 corridor in the town. We should all collaborate and come up with a positive solution that works for everybody. Nobody wants to fight. We just want to work out a positive solution. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Dan Davies.
My name is Daniel Davies. I'm one of the co-owners of Chicobi Acres Subdivision. Our project has been in front of this town for a year and a half, spending many tens of thousands of dollars in engineering, design, and approval, only to have the rug pulled out in 11th hour. The Cerrones have done projects in this town for 20-plus years to great success, allowing for affordable home ownership within this great community. My firm represents $170 million in sales a year within this region. What you are proposing here tonight not only will delay this and many other projects for years to come from getting out of the ground, because you don't have the capacity or agreements in place for the sewers. It will also add substantial cost to affordable home ownership within this town. This is a death sentence to development within the town of Monroe for years to come. We are at a 54-year low in inventory. If you look at the national economic data and local EDC reports, which were given twice within this region in the last few years, you will realize that this area lacks nearly 4,000 homes. That is why homeownership costs are so high. This will exacerbate that on unparalleled levels for the entire region, because Monroe is one of the last places for homeowner development. The sewer project was designed for the commercial areas of the town, not the residential. You were trying to pay for the sewer with the residential owners. That is not what was originally intended for or sold to the town residents. Our projects will allow housing that these commercial establishments need for employees for affordable housing for this area for years to come. I implore you to take this into consideration. Thank you.
So at this time, that is all I have for individuals who have signed up. Is there anybody else that wishes to speak on proposed local law number 2 this evening? If not, we're without objection from the board. We're going to leave the public hearing open. We will certainly accept any written testimony moving forward until at such time that we close the public hearing. So thank you very much for your comments on the this time, we'll take up the public hearing for proposed local law number 3 of 2022. And also, a little housekeeping, we do need to declare a lead agency for this unlisted action. Does anyone wish to move that resolution?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. So at this time, we'll also ask the Deputy Clerk to please read the Notice of Public Hearing into the record.
Notice is hereby given pursuant to Section 20 of the Municipal Home Rule Law of the State of New York that a public hearing be held by the Town Board of the Town of Moreau on April 26, 2022 at 6:10 p.m. at the Town Municipal Complex located at 351 Reynolds Road, Moreau, New York, for the purpose of considering the adoption of Local Law No. 3 of 2022. If adopted, Local Law No. 3 of 2022 would amend the Zoning Code of the Town of Moreau, including the bulk, area, and use schedules, to clarify procedures related to site plan and subdivision applications and approvals. Written comments on Local Law No. 3 of 2022 can be submitted to the Town Clerk up and through the time of the public hearing. A copy of proposed Local Law No. 3 of 2022 can be obtained at the Moreau Town Municipal Complex and on the Town's website.
Thank you. And at this time, I'll ask Town Council just to give a brief description of what we're considering here tonight. Councilor?
The zoning proposal is with regard to the residential subdivisions and the requirement for the sewer as opposed to septic. This is the opening of the public hearing. Public hearing will be continued. We're to receive comments from the public as we go through this process.
Thank you, Councilor. So at this time, I'll open the public hearing, second one for this evening officially. And do we have a sign up list for those wishing to be heard?
Same
list? And just a reminder, the same rule apply as to the previous public hearing. Any member of the public wishing to be heard, please state your name and address for the record, and you will have 5 minutes to address the board, and the deputy supervisor will be the timekeeper. So with that, the first individual again is Travis Mitchell.
I don't have anything further to add.
Harry Fowler.
For the board of the use schedules and 2 pages out of your comprehensive plan, master plan. Maybe I didn't have enough.
Okay.
In the chair.
I think the board members have lost the use schedule.
We have the use schedule.
I'll start off, if everybody can hear me, if they can, I'll do something else. But, I'd like some comments in the copy of the pages from the comprehensive plan and the highlights noted for the record. Page 61, residential development should reflect the current needs of the town. Then it goes on further down the third paragraph. Moreau is and will continue to experience significant increases in senior population cohorts. Therefore, it's a corresponding need for supply of housing, responsible levels of affordability, and varying formats will keep pace with the increased demand. Goals: encourage the development of affordable single-family housing to match current demand with families moving into town. Create greater access for both independent and assisted senior housing. Keep housing costs and property taxes low to keep Moreau an affordable place for people to live. And then it goes on about seniors again. Limit sprawl and disperse neighborhoods by encouraging more efficient use of land within already developed areas, and discourage growth out into farmland and open spaces. There are many opportunities to infill and develop residential areas in town. These areas need to be looked at first when considering additional development. What we're going to do is, with this proposed zoning change, you're going to push development out into farmland. You've got irregular shaped lots, I don't know if anybody took a look at the size of the parcels that are being affected, the shape of the parcels, but my big problem is the use schedule. You've increased on the use schedule the minimum lot area by 50%. That means for every 3 lots, somebody loses the lot. If you had $300-$400 assessment on new houses, you're going to lose tens if not hundreds of millions of dollars in future assessment. Plus, people won't have an affordable place to live. So I don't know why you've done away with 15,000 square foot lots. I own 2 parcels that's surrounded by 100 by 150 foot lots. It's ideal for seniors. You're taking away cluster development unless it has water and sewer. I have 2 parcels that are over a mile away from the sewer, yet the use schedule points out that it looks good, appears to be for the whole town, anything in an R1, R2, C2, C3, M1, and M1A. So I don't know if that was the intent when the use schedule was done, but that's going to drive the cost of lots up terribly, and it's going to hurt the town in the long run. Somehow you came up with a terminology, large development, greater than 10 EDUs. I don't know where that came from. We've never had anything like that. I've heard no discussion on it. I'm curious how that was determined by whom. You've increased the time for some of the approvals by the planning board from 45 to 62 days. I probably won't finish in 5 minutes.
You got 27 minutes on here.
In 124-27A2, it talks about planning board may is now going to be shall require the subdivider to provide dry sewers. Requirements only made when the municipal sanitary sewer project is to be available for connection to the subdivision within a reasonable period of time. How do you define what a reasonable period of time is? That's only one that church attorneys could argue it both ways. Cluster development shall only be considered if development has a planned connection to both municipal water and sewer utilities. So if I want to do a senior cluster project, I'm a mile away from it, but from the sewer. The town can't put a mile of sewer line in themselves without grant money. How do you expect a developer to build it or a property owner? So those are some of my concerns. But I don't think it...
In fairness to the other people who signed up, for being wrapped up.
Am I there?
Yeah.
Okay. Will I get a second time for the round?
Sure, we'll give you a second time. Mm-hmm. We have time for this. Thank you. Next individual is Luke Michaels.
Hello again. So, just in regards to the sewer, you might read my name, Luke Michaels.
Very good.
So, just in reference to the sewer, first of all, the question is, what's the foundation for the zoning change? Why is zoning becoming more restrictive on residential projects? I haven't seen any discussion. I haven't seen any concerns. I haven't seen anything in the town row of any time recently or in the past 10 years about issues with zoning and the need for us to go, as Harry pointed out, from a 15,000 square foot lot now to a 22,500 square foot lot. I haven't seen any referral to the planning board or zoning board or any comments from either board to this. So I question where the foundation for this zoning change come from and what are the reasons behind it. On top of that, now if sewer is going to be available, why are we making zoning more restrictive? If anything, If you're adding sewer to these residential projects, we can do more uses. We can do townhouses. We can do multi-family units. With sewer, opens up so much more capability and possibilities for different types of housing. When you have septic systems, you're locked into a single-family house for the most part. So now that we have sewer, if sewer is the case, it allows more uses. This is an opportunity for the town to add density options. And now, those projects that we're speaking about, now you can, if we have more units, you can spread out that sewer cost over more units, bringing down that cost, that sticker price out of your loan. In this situation, by limiting the uses and adding sewer, now those numbers that I just talked about, $15,000 to $20,000 per home, now goes up. Because now we're working with less lots. So now what was 15 to 20 is now 25 plus. And we're just going the entire opposite way. So I don't see how these two zoning and sewer changes correlate with each other. If anything, they're going in the opposite direction. Thank you.
Dan Boots.
Dan Volusia, 426 Sixth Avenue, Queensbury. I won't be as long as Harry, but I agree with what Luke's saying, and that's kind of why I'm here tonight. I know the town has spent many years trying to get the sewer up at night to develop, and we've been involved in some potential projects, but we couldn't do them because of sewer. With that being said, changing the density, I think, is a slippery slope, because you're trying to develop the Route 9 corridor. To develop it, you need people, places to live, people to go to those businesses. As you restrict that, you're going to have less, and I think that's going to be a challenge to really develop Route 9 corridor the way that I can see it, and I think the way that the town sees it. I think you should consider that. I agree with Luke. He did the details on it. So, thank you.
Thank you. Gianni Simone.
I'm good. These guys have all the topics.
Okay.
Thank you.
Dan Davis.
I'll be short, but I just want to reiterate what both Luke and Mr. Galusha said, that when companies come to this region, they're going to look for employees. It's the fundamental first step in what they do in research, and we just do not have a housing for them. We're going to lack them. So we want to develop the commercial side of this, Route 9, and we're all for that. You need people here, you know, and as a realtor for doing this for 34 years, we have never seen the inventory this low. The prices are crazy, but there's unsustained demand coming out of New York City that is going to keep demand here for a long time, and it's got to be affordable so that you can actually make the commercial development that you want to do work, and by lowering the density, it's only going to hurt.
Thank you.
Hey,
Todd.
Yes.
Can I have one more time?
Yes, but Harry
is his first.
So before Harry goes, anybody else wish to be heard on this second public hearing for the first one? Okay. You guys can play it.
Go, Harry.
These are maps that show a couple of different parts of the board. You can see one here and one here. You can see the nature of that. The shape of the parcel, so when you read the map of the plan, and these are mostly all 115,000 square foot lots, three quarters of the way around the property. So, and I can relate these if you need to, but they're just going up to show the size of the lots around it. And it's all along off the end of Cedar Grand Oaks. You can see the lots that are all around it. You'll see most of them are 100 by 150 feet. That's all down on that north side of Peter Demo, Hudson Drive, Park Drive, Mountain View, West Road, Fuller Road. And that's why I say, if you really look at how much vacant land we've got in that R1 zone, somebody said, oh, let's break them all down, look at all the individual states. What should we be doing, and how can you maximize what you're going to do here? Because when you develop a strip town, we're going to need people that in houses will be customers for the businesses along the strip, and it'll have a big difference on your mortgage tax and your sales tax over a period of time. That's pretty much it, but when you start changing density zoning, it affects a lot of people, and you want to be careful you don't get some unintended consequences. And that's why I'm saying, study good. I like the idea that one of the builders said, work with your property owners, your builders, that they all have some good ideas, so. Especially when it comes to being creative and senior housing and special projects, so. Just be afraid some of that stuff is going to get shut out, and it'll put the town at a stalemate. Thank you.
Thank you. Dan Gould.
Yeah, one other thing. I'm not against water and sewer. I think it's part of the whole gig. But I think you have to be careful, because I think there's a lot of properties here, and I just thought about it after I listened, that if you run water and sewer out, which would help a lot of things there, you got to have enough density for someone to be able to afford that. Not everybody can afford that. And I throw out to the town that if you guys need some ideas of cost and stuff, we're more than happy to show you those. That's what we do for a living. So I just throw that up there as an offer. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We do have another meeting at 6:45, but is there anybody else that wishes to be heard for the public hearing to see? If not, like the first public hearing of the evening, we will leave this public hearing open. Anybody wishing to submit written comment is invited to do so, and we will include it in the record. Anything else, Councilor? So thank you very much for everybody's participation, and we will take your comments under advice and continue to work through the process. All right, this time we're going to begin regular end of the month audit meeting for the town of Moreau, and I think almost all of those above, if not all of them, have been signed.
Almost all.
We do have three items of discussion before we can complete that task. And the first issue is we received a voucher from I think Steve Porto, who's executive director of Grant Cottage. And as the board knows, we appropriate funds annually. The cottage is located in the town of Moreau, the historical, exactly the National Historical Register now, thanks to the efforts of Senator Schumer and other representatives. And so we provide them with $5,500 in funding annually. And we received the voucher for the 2021 payment. Obviously, the books for 2021 are closed, and that money went back into fund balance. I guess it's unexpended. We do have money in this year's budget that we can move around from economic to from. Is that kind of
stuff? It's going to be a budget.
It's going to be a budget amendment. All right, so the budget amendment, and it will go to the general fund historical property. The houses, was for those that don't know, was the location where Ulysses S. Grant died after completing his memoirs. It's located right here in town of Moreau. A lot of people don't realize that. It has historical significance for many different reasons. And my recommendation would be to transfer funds in the amount of $5,500 to a 75.4 general fund historical property, so that we can move forward on the voucher.
Which is increasing appropriations, right?
It would be transferred from account A6. It would be an increase in appropriation.
I'll make a motion.
So motion by Councilman Stewart and seconded by Councilmember Van Tassel. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. The next item for discussion, we received three vouchers from three planning board members who attended a meeting that actually did not move forward due to a lack of quorum because the meeting was canceled due to the lack of quorum, so they were not there to conduct town business. So I brought to the board for discussion because the meeting didn't take place. I don't know if the board has a position on it. My recommendation would be because we have given an indication to the planning board and zoning board to schedule meetings as necessary, not just the once-a-month meetings because of the work that and the projects that are coming before them. My recommendation, this money can be used at other meetings. It doesn't need to be used for a meeting where no public business is
affected. I don't think we're discussing it. I mean, if we didn't have a meeting and it was canceled, I would support not paying these vouchers if this meeting didn't happen. I don't know if they were thinking just put them in, we'll have a discussion.
Yeah.
So we haven't talked to them, but I'm open to not paying these vouchers because no meeting was done.
I guess I just for an area of discussion, I guess the $60 what would pay them isn't specifically for their time at the meeting. We, the planning board, the amount of paperwork and hours to put behind the scene just to have a meeting that didn't come forward doesn't mean that they didn't do the work that they were prepared to do that night. And because of an emergency, it was canceled. I still think the amount of homework and hopefully the seriousness that they're looking into items in front of them, I would say that they shouldn't pay for it.
Should we?
Yeah, I would say that.
Well, I agree with Mark. It was our luck, and they did take the time out of their day to come. It was like it got canceled before they showed up. I do believe they should do that.
If you want me to weigh in, I have a similar feeling that Councilman Stewart shared. Specifically, being on that board for a short period of time, does that have to ask when to be prepared? Do we have an opportunity to take a current warrant for it?
And then the final document for discussion is in relation to a fire LLC. If the board recalls, we had agreed to propose this for our cybersecurity services for the town. The current proposal we have is for $200 a month, the current bill that we received has been an increase moving forward in the amount of $20.60 over and above what the town already authorized. So we would need a resolution to authorize payment if the board so chooses to make those payments going forward for the end of the year at the additional rate of $220.60 versus the current $200. And authorized.
So you just need a motion.
So you need a motion to increase the town payments for cybersecurity services
through or acquired LLC from the existing $200 per month to $220.60.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any opposed? Motion passes 4 yeses or 1 abstention. Council member Van Patten. So the only other thing I have left is I need a motion to transfer funds in the amount of $2,026.50. That would transfer from account 8640.60.4, which is general economic development, to account A1940.4, which is general purchase of land, and this is to cover the closing costs for the first well when we were provided with the property and Route 9 for the school pump station. And as the board knows, that property was donated to us graciously by Hillman Brothers, and the only stipulation was that we covered the closing costs, and as a result, that's why we need to transfer.
I will make a motion to transfer from $2,026.57 from A6460.4 to A1940.4, the general purchase of land.
Second. Any discussion? None. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Anything else?
Did you get a resolution to the budget amendment?
Yes. That was the one for the $5,500?
Yeah.
That was the first one.
Councilmember Stewart?
Here.
Councilmember Noonan?
Here.
Councilmember Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzner?
Here. And if everyone would please rise for Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, everyone. First item on the agenda is the customary approval of minutes. We only have one set for a regular town board meeting that was held on April 12th of 2022.
Motion to approve.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimous. Item 2 is Assessor's Office. We have a request for the Assessor and the Senior Assessor Clerk to attend Cornell's educational classes for continuing education. And I think all board members have a copy of the Assessor's request. She would like to attend the New York State Assessor's Association, which meeting which will be held July 17th through July 22nd, 2022, in person at Ithaca, New York. They are signing up for the course application of three approaches to value. As I indicated, it's a 5-day course. I just want to point out for the record that congratulations are in order to our to Riley, our senior assessor clerk, who received a scholarship at this conference back in October when his name was drawn at the Hall Conference. So it's actually a savings of approximately $800, or actually $1,800 for the town in the long run. So with that, she's looking for approval to expend no cost for Riley. However, there is a cost for the assessor in the amount of $470 for the farm appraisal course, 5 nights at hotel room stay at $670 total, travel to and from the conference at 413 miles times current reimbursement rate of 0.585 cents, which works out to $242.19, and the estimated food incidentals is $365, so a total approximate cost to the town of $1,750. Now, before the board acts on it, the question that is posed, I said I would have to bring to the board, is that that office will be closed for that entire time. They will be available by telephone, cell phone, and email. If anyone comes in from the public, needs assistance immediately. But you know, I want to make sure the board is aware of that. Or the, yeah.
I think it's after their important dates.
It is.
So, I'm okay with it.
So, with that, I'll entertain a motion authorizing the town assessor and the senior assessor clerk to attend the Cornell conference with a reimbursable rate not to exceed $1,750.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. We do have some other items under assessor's office, but they will require an executive session discussion before we move forward. Agenda item 3 is our annual stormwater report. There are certain requirements that the town must follow through on to be compliant with the stormwater management plan that the state has mandated on municipalities. And it requires that the following be read into the record of our regular board meeting for this evening. And I quote, the annual stormwater report has been completed for the period of March 10, 2021 to March 9, 2022. The draft is available for review on the town's website. In addition, copies are available at the town clerk's office as well as the highway department. Should the public have any questions or comments, they should be directed in writing to Maureen Lurkies, Stormwater Management Officer at 1543 Route 9, whatever, New York, 12828. Or they can be submitted via email to moreauhwy@conmoreau.org. And I just want to thank Stormwater Management Officer Maureen for continuing to make sure we're compliant. Agenda item 4 is Water and Sewer Department. We've got a couple of items. The first one is a while back, actually in March 22nd of this year, the town board passed a resolution. Resolution 148 of 2022 that authorized a refund to William Freetag in the amount of $4,300, which he had paid for water hookup installation. And at that time, I had information that was provided to me that the project, while it had planning board approval, approval was contingent on having the water line installed. And I just learned between now and then that a CO was inadvertently issued and the property was actually being used for the purpose that the planning board approved with a contingency of having water. The problem with that is they're no longer compliant with the approval process through the planning board. And as I delved into it, the approval process in 2018, the planning board did a contingent approval with the fact that water would be hooked up by August of 2019. On July 31st of 2019, Mr. Freetag did make an application with the water superintendent at the time for water hookup. However, payment was not made until April of 2021. And obviously the rates had changed between, you know, the period of approval when you had to follow through with the requirements of the planning board approval. And so my recommendation this evening is to rescind the authority to refund Mr. Freetag the $4,300.
Can I ask a couple questions?
Sure.
Was the payment required with the application or the application separate time?
So it's my understanding and how the applications work is, and I actually have a copy of it. The individual submits the application and signed off by the water superintendent. However, no action takes place until payment is received, and that is annotated by the town clerk's office.
Okay. So it's still a complete application, but
we don't do work without payment.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, if ultimately he didn't do his part on the other end in the time period.
Well, it was required as the planning board approval process to have it installed by August 2019. And now
we're going to do the payment. So, I would support a rescinding of the of that.
Is that a motion?
A motion.
Sure. Did we discuss about this in the executive session last time? The cost associated to the town product, would we correct?
There is a cost associated with it at Route 9. So and the cost of the town well exceeds the $4,200.
Okay.
And we've increased the fees for that a couple of times since 2018.
And would us rescinding that our resolution put the cost burden on them or the town.
That would require a further discussion by the board. Then.
Who was the first?
So moved on the motion to rescind the resolution.
Second from Council Member Stewart. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Then the only other item I have for water and sewer department is town clerk has some questions with relation to penalties on water charges. For those individuals that technically didn't receive a bill because it came back to the town undeliverable or no such address. So my recommendation is I'd like to try to the water committee for the recommendation to the board and try to recommend it. Maybe we can take that up for the
board. Okay.
Other clerk's office knows the detail on it. This actually the memo is from the town clerk in relation to water penalties. It looks like it's $10. Unlike real property taxes, because we don't do water and sewer by ad valorem, we can't attach it to the memo. We can't attach it to the property tax or have it. We have got from account A1620.401, which has a balance $37,500.36 as of March 31st. And he is recommending that we use Mother Earth Pest Solutions.
Motion to approve.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next request from the regulator is for staffing at West Park and at the beach. I think the board members have a recommendation for the park rehires in 2021, as well as recommendations for new hires for 2022. And for the park and then for the Sandbar Beach lifeguard rehires from 2021, as well as a new hire. Like that for 2022. You want me to go through the. Everybody in support of the request without making the record?
Alright, so we'll do two separate resolutions. The first one is to hire and rehire employees. And it would read as follows: so be it resolved, the following people be rehired as full-time seasonal employees for the Town Hall Recreation Department. Miles Hogan at a rate of pay of $13.20 per hour. Bradley Mallett at the same rate. So be it further resolved that the following people be hired as full-time seasonal employees for the Town Hall Recreation Department effective immediately and subject to the successful completion of a background check and pre-employment physical within the next 2 weeks. Those individuals include Xavier DeRush at $13.20 per hour, Joseph Johnson at the same rate, Chris Hughes also at $13.20, and Bruce Kilmartin at the same rate. You would like to read that?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. And similarly for lifeguards, someone like to move a resolution that the following people be rehired as lifeguards for the Town Hall Recreation Department. First individual is Megan DeFoy at $13.60 per hour. Leah Richard at $14 per hour. And Madeline Harris at $13.20 per hour. And be it further resolved that the following people be hired as senior lifeguards for the Town Hall Recreation Department. Zachary Smetko at $14.94 per hour, and Bruce Bill Martin at $14.20 per hour.
So motion.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item is in relation to dumpsters at the beach and the Harriet Beecher Park. He's requesting 2 10-yard dumpsters for the Harriet Beecher Park for weekly pickup between May 2nd through November 12th of this year, which includes 8 billing cycles, and 1 2-yard dumpster for the beach with weekly pickup between May 23rd and September 17th of this year, which would be 4 billing cycles. 3 vendors were contacted. First one is Ace Carding from Fort Ann. Provided a price of $380 for a 30-day billing for 10-yard dumpsters and $60 for a 30-day billing for a 2-yard dumpster. Twin Bridges Waste and Recycling at Half Moon will not charge us for either 10-yard dumpsters or 2-yard dumpster. And Waste Management LLC from North Seneca, a price of $480.93 per month for 10-yard dumpsters, and for 2-yard dumpster, an amount of $193.97. This money would have been drawn in account A7140.4 and account A7310.4. The balance currently in 7140.4 account of $76,840.14. And account 7310.4 has a balance of $9,590.50 as of March 31st. Typically, we did budget $3,000 for this purpose. Department recommendation is to utilize fund bridges this year and save approximately $33,000.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item 6, planning and zoning. I received a resignation letter dated April 25th from one of our planning board members. Says, dear Mr. Kushner's, hereby submit my resignation from the town and rural planning board effective April 26, 2022. While it's been an honor and privilege to serve as a planning board member, my personal commitment to work schedule made my continued participation contemptible. Wish to thank you and the town board for the opportunity to serve the town these past 7 years. Signed, Gerald Bouchard, town rural planning board member. And obviously, we will have to accept his resignation. But on behalf of the residents of the town of Moreau, I'd like to thank Jerry for his service, not only on the planning board, he did serve on the zoning board for a while. I think it was about 6 years. And, you know, it takes a lot of time and commitment. And we sincerely appreciate everything he did for the town. So we wish him well in all his future endeavors. So with that, I'll need a motion to accept his resignation.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. So with that, that leaves a vacancy on the planning board. We currently have one alternate, Adam Siebold, who has been attending meetings on and off as necessary. And my recommendation would be to appoint Mr. Siebel to finish out the unexpired term of Jerry Bouchard, which expires at the December 31st of 2023. So it'll be approximately a year and a half. Only because there's a lot going on with the planning board. I think it's critical that we have a fully constituted board. So, motion by Councilmember Stewart. Seconded by Councilmember Newman. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Also under zoning, let's see, we have an applicant here before us, and the next step in the process is we need to set a public hearing on zoning amendment for the High Hall application in relation to Route 9. We haven't heard from county planning that we believe on it yet, but we expect to before well in advance of the public hearing. Do you know if we've got them on the
We have, he's fairly dated, you know.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so before we set the public hearing, we have to do that.
Right.
So is the board okay moving forward with public hearing?
This has passed by county planning, does not go there.
Right. But we were going to set the public hearing.
Right.
Do that. Or the next board
hearing. Very good. Let's see if here.
Yeah.
So we'll do that.
So, first off, I guess the order of business would be to declare the agency status on this proposed zoning change.
Okay.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. So with that,
I would recommend setting a public hearing at our next board meeting, May 10th, at 7 o'clock.
Sure.
I don't think we'll be able to attend, but 6:45, everybody?
Sure.
Yeah. All right, so that'll require a motion establishing a public hearing and that zoning, proposed zoning change for 6:45 on May 10th, 2020.
So,
second.
All in favor? I'm sorry.
So, I just a quick question. This is just customary part of the process.
Yeah,
that's all I'm hearing. And it's,
yeah, so every has been required a local law.
Mm-hmm.
And the local law requires a public hearing to be held on it. And obviously, that we're doing here on the public hearing for the public tonight. On board will review any comments, concerns that come in, and then we will decide as a board what we want to do next.
All right. I'm interested in hearing public comment on this. Approached by some neighbors who are not in favor of this change, so I think this would be their opportunity to come and express their thoughts to the public. So,
do you think we need more time? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. A lot of people like to call me, but no one likes to show up. So,
that's the way it goes. We didn't want to end the board meeting.
And if I may, I think, and this might be helpful for anybody that contacts you, I think there's some confusion as well. The action that the town board will be taking in May isn't on the PUD itself, isn't on the proposal.
Yes, I'm aware of that, and I make that aware when people call.
Yeah, okay.
Just
wanted to make sure that it is only going to be the
correct.
Yep. So, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Yeah, the date?
Good.
So we're all set on that. That's all I have for. You don't need any notes from us tonight.
No.
Okay.
You're welcome. All right, supervisor items. First item I'd like to report on is we received our monthly report from the county treasurer in relation to our sales tax distribution. The county sales tax receipts were $14,199,948. And this is approximately a 1.25% increase over last year at this time. And the town of Monroe sales tax for this month is year to date, we are now up to $632,616. And that's about a 2.5% increase over last year at this time. We do have some notes that I would call them caveats. That it's basically being driven by the higher cost of consumer goods, obviously on a percentage tax. More the goods cost, the more sales taxes on that, which is not necessarily good for the consumer. We're seeing higher prices on vehicle sales and motor vehicle sales. With interest rates rising, county treasurer expects to see vehicle sales drop off as they customarily do in the third and fourth quarter as we move forward. So keep an eye on that. This past Saturday, Deputy Supervisor Noonan and myself were invited to Southlands Falls Volunteer Fire Company's installation banquet, which was held on Saturday, April 23rd, 2022, and was well attended. And myself and Deputy Supervisor Noonan both swore in representatives for the officer positions of the fire company. So we appreciate all that they do on behalf of town and rural residents and surrounding communities. Moving on to mortgage tax receipts. Received that yesterday. Town of Monroe received, or we collected, and will be receiving $53,485.50. And we are the fifth largest amount collected in the county for towns. And if you track the numbers over the past year, well, actually since COVID hit, lots of people are moving into town their own. And want to make their home here and raise their family here, which is a good thing. Just want to report on our annual report for our ARPA filing. We're required to file what we did with our ARPA funding, and Jeffrey provided that paperwork, and we received approximately $600,000 for 2021, and we expect to receive the other half of that payment in June of this year. And what we've done here to date is we reimbursed the general fund $146,983 for our estimated revenue losses as a result of the COVID-19 public health emergency. This goes for things like when employees were staying home and we had to pay them to stay home. We were able to make our general fund full to the ARPA funds. Also, would like to report that Saratoga County annual senior luncheon tickets are now available on sale. This is the 38th year that the Department of Aging and Youth Services has done this. Senior luncheon will be held Friday, May 6th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. At the Saratoga Springs City Center. Tickets to attend the luncheon are $4 each and must be purchased in advance. Tickets are also available on a first-served basis at the County Department of Aging and Youth Services and at various senior centers throughout Saratoga County. Just as an aside, this year's theme is The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. Seniors are encouraged to join the department for music, door prizes, raffles, and a festive lunch. And the menu includes Auntie M's fried chicken, Emerald City green beans, scarecrow, coleslaw, potato salad, yellow brick road, cornbread, and great and powerful cheesecake, and witches brew. For more information on tickets, you can reach out to the Department of Aging and Youth Services at 518-884-4100. And some good news, always good news, when there's more money coming into the town. With the adoption of the New York State budget, there were provisions in that budget for a program called Pave Our Potholes Program. And this is a program that is administered through the New York State Department of Transportation. And in the budget, the state provided for appropriations of $100 million annually to assist municipalities with the rehab, reconstruction of local highways and roads. There's a description of all that's eligible and reimbursable. But I did want to point out that specifically the town of Monroe will be receiving $33,463.18 from this program. It is an annual program. I'm not sure the duration. It might be 10 years, but I'm glad to have it worked in Albany. Funds may dry up well before the 10-year program is over. Or be redirected, I should say. I think that's under committee reports. It was brought to my attention that our zoning map has not been updated with some of the changes that we did recently, namely the two parcels that we included in the agricultural district off of Selfridge Road are not included in the map. And I know county Architects Department can do that for us. So what I'd like to do is ask our zoning liaison, council members, Stuart and Noonan, if they work with Jim on that and make sure that it's updated, because we do have a lot of people looking for it.
Yeah.
Thank you for more information on zoning.
No, I did find out so that somebody won't be aware of it. These can be changed. We have a design review. I think this can be changed by, because we own all of whatever public layers that go to it.
So for the public's benefit, we're discussing the proposed logo. Basically, it's branding for Town Hall. Councilman Williams been working out for an extended period of time, so appreciate Ms. Williams to take that up. And we're almost there.
We're almost there. We're pretty set on a design. We just got to work on some colors so that, ultimately, one thing isn't necessarily the focus of this image and logo that will ultimately go on our trucks. Maybe we get a flag made out that goes on the doors. You know, it's right now our Town of Monroe emblem is just Monroe, the outline of the river in 1805. It's pretty antiquated. And had the chance to work with some designers on this, and they came up with a pretty neat idea with some concepts after some discussing. So we're getting there. We're close.
And we are going to need an executive.
You discussed last time about our kitchen tile and what we put that on the building so we can get the light on going out there. Because we're running out of money on that. And on the same note, looking at it, talk to Paul about that, the bulldozer over there, nothing else, and trying to move with the bulldozer, move something around and get it out of there. Working on that. And then get that out there, whatever we have to do, see if anybody would like to take some away from it.
So we, if you recall, back in November of last year, we had introduced stuff by my office from a kind of sand and stone that was interested in hauling our apple flower. I don't know if anybody would follow up on that. I know it was provided to the transfer committee at the time, but I have that information if anybody wants to follow up. So how we left off with it, the transfer station was going to work to come up with an RFP because we just can't hire one person, but we fairly put it out there. So I don't know if we want to work with this individual to come up with a general RFP, and we can put it out there. I also have another individual, he's with the same company, John Winslow, that was interested in it. So I'll leave. So that's all I have for committee reports. I do need an executive session for a couple items. One is to provide an update on the Skimmerhorn tax certiorari that is before the town, actually before the court, looking for direction from the town. Also to provide an update on contract negotiations in relation to the sale of 61 Hudson, and also potential contract negotiations for sale of town lots in the industrial park. So somebody would like to move that.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So we're in the executive. Okay, we are now out of executive session and we are in open session.
session, and I would ask that the record reflect that no action was taken in executive session. So we do have one additional order of business. It's in relation to a tax return case in relation to Bluebird Village LLC, Harrison Place LLC, Harrison Terrace LLC, and real property tax law tax assessment litigation. I'm going to provide the clerk with a copy of it.
I think I have one. I can take yours.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't sure we were going to have that tonight. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Oh, all right. My half inch secretary is way ahead. As a so, this is in relation to a filing that was made in Supreme Court in Saratoga County, and it was in the matter of Bluebird Village LLC, Harrison Place LLC, Harrison Terrace LLC against Town Assessor, Board of Assessment Review of the Town of Monroe, Town of Monroe Assessors for the Village of South Plains Falls, Board of Assessment Review for Village of South Plains Falls. And we had engaged special counsel for this litigation, and some offers had gone back and forth. And in a nutshell, I'd like to present to the board a recommendation from our special counsel on that. At the time of the filing, Bluebird Village was assessed at $18 million, Harrison Place was assessed at $1.95 million, and Harrison Terrace was assessed at $5.925 million. The complainant had requested a 5.1% reduction on Bluebird Village, 11.4% reduction on Harrison Place, and 8.6% reduction on Harrison Terrace. After conferences between representatives for the town and attorneys for Spearhorn LLC, they have a recommended settlement for the board as follows. Bluebird Village, as I indicated, was assessed at $18 million. They'd like the assessment reduced to $17.55 million, which would be a loss of tax dollars of $425.69 annually. This agreement would be from 2022, I believe, to 2024. Not mistaken. And on Harrison Avenue Place, the original assessed value is $1.95 million, and the agreement would be reduced assessed value to $1.901.25 million, and lost tax dollars annually would be $46.36. These are tax dollars at Town Borough only. And finally, on Harrison Place, original assessed value was $5.95 million. And the agreement would be to reduce assessed value to $5.776875 million. And lost revenue would be $140.95. So, if the town were to have moved forward, require an appraisal on each of the three properties, the cost would be around $7,500 each under today's market. And obviously, if you look at the cost-benefit analysis on that, where a town would be out $1,839 combined from all three properties, it's clearly in the town's best interest to settle with the agreement that was worked out between both opposing counsel and the town special counsel on that. So, with that, the town would like to move forward, and if so, the town board, we do have a draft resolution that is perfect.
I'm certainly able to want to, in the argument, eventually, there's legal use. There's a wording that factored in there, and we can cover that for these temporary days of all time. So, it makes some sense to have the fact
there. So, with that, would you quickly read the resolution and the order?
Okay. Whereas Bluebird Village LLC, Harrison Place LLC, and Harrison Terrace LLC petitioners commenced litigation pursuant to RPTL Article 7, challenging its assessment for tax year 2021 for the following properties located within the town of Borough, subject properties. Tax map number 50.2-1.11, address 284 through 298 Fort Edward Road. Tax map 37.1-19, address 108 Harrison Avenue. Tax map 37.63-1-3, address 4749 Harrison Avenue. Whereas the town has determined it to be in its best interest to enter into a consent order and settlement stipulation, now, therefore, be it resolved that the town board of the town of Moreau hereby approves the settlement of the real property tax law Article 7 proceeding entitled Bluebird Village LLC, Harrison Place LLC, and Harrison Terrace LLC versus assessors of the town of Moreau, Board of Assessment Review for the town of Moreau, New York, and assessors of the Village of South Bend Falls, Board of Assessment Review of the Village of South Bend Falls, Village of South Bend Falls, New York, as follows. Tax map number 50.2-1.11, address 284 through 298 Fort Edward Road, 2022 assessed value $18 million. 2022 reduced assessed value would be $17,550,000. Tax map number 37.1-19, address 108 Harrison Avenue, 2022 assessed value $1,950,000. 2022 reduced assessed value $1,901,250. Tax map number 37.63-1-3. Address 47 through 49 Harrison Avenue, 2022 assessed value $5,925,000, 2022 reduced assessed value $5,776,875. 1. All proceedings will be discontinued. 2. Reduced assessed value will remain through 2024. 3. No refunds will be paid by the town. And be it further resolved that the town board hereby authorizes Lewis and Greer, P.C., Dylan Harris, Esquire, special counsel to the town to sign appropriate consent order and settlement stipulation resolving these matters.
Thank you very much. Somebody like to move that for discussion?
Don't move.
Second. Discussion. Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Yeah, did you see there's a correction for spelling?
Moreau.
That we're doing?
Yeah, I figured. Yeah, I'm right.
Also, we're still on other business. Any other business?
Once again, looking for a solar rooftop. In the last meeting, I spoke and I mentioned that. If anybody had any further questions for tonight's survey or Ag's Market, I should fall into the academic room. And if we had any remaining questions that we might want to ask them, I didn't get any mails for anybody, so I'm assuming that. We've got all the answers we need, and I'm just looking to set the date for a solar workshop. And all fairness to all concerned that we should get this thing going after 2.5 years. And I'd like to set a date for a solar workshop.
Okay. I didn't have any questions, I think the meetings that took place over several years made it clear to me where the public was on it, so I didn't have any interest in having a public
I have no more questions, and I know we've had the workshops in the past. At this time, I don't have interest in a workshop.
I'm looking for a good reason not to have one. I haven't heard one that makes all make for a good reason.
Well, my position has changed, so it's the same as what I stated last week. Or last week. If I had any additional questions that would change where I believe I stand, where I know I stand on the point that I would be in favor of it. But I also stated then that I also would not be in favor of the public workshop if I didn't have any other reason to work through anything. I know, based on the information, thank you for the information you don't gather from the market. My question is all answered.
Okay, so your question is answered, but would you like to move forward and do something with the law? You know, because this law is just, it's up in here. Like you said, you form it, and now I think it's time to sit down right from you, and maybe that'll be from the purpose. I think it's time to sit down, whatever you need to do, sit down and work through this thing. We have three or four certain points that involve and, investigating and looking into, and I think we'll have to sit down, just hash it out and put a period to this. That's my thing.
Well, as I think it's a little bit more complicated than that. Let me just say where I'm at, and then the last time I had a record. I spent a week and a day off, a rainy day, compiling my thoughts, drafting a letter to council, just to put my thoughts on record with relation to the existing model law, and we'll wait and see what the feedback is for me, and then we'll see if any of the board members have any other comments. But, there's a couple items I've already gone on record saying I'd like to explore the potential of the overlay district.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I just need to question on. I don't think we'll have to do that anymore. A legal counsel on that.
Yeah, I would say comment, I think. Get Councilman Castle's answers back on that, but I do think we do need to make a decision so that there's nothing left hanging in the air. Whatever the next steps in that, carry out. Like I said, as far as the public workshop, stuff you provided, stuff enabled to be definitely be able to look forward for a conversation.
So let's look at this number just to say, instead of a workshop. In what direction would you generally like to go? I'm stuck here. If a workshop isn't going to get us to completion of this task, what is? What is the next step? Maybe a workshop isn't. I'm barking up the wrong tree. But I'd like to know what direction we're going to go in for the period of this thing. It's going on 3 years. In one way or the other, what is the where are we going to go with this? Besides saying we're going to have a meeting, not have a meeting, and just look at it, it's just frustrating. It really isn't. I'm sure if it's frustrating for me, it's definitely frustrating for people involved. And I don't think it's fair to anybody.
Well, that's an interesting process.
No, we don't have to.
Talk about fairness. Fairness to the people that are the most impacted by the change in the zoning law. We have to be respectful of their views. We all sat up there and we heard the majority of the folks that would be impacted by itself. And if there is an intent to disregard that, we're not being fair. So you bring up a valid point, but. I'm going to be respectful of those that would be impacted by this one.
And so would I. And there was plenty of people, there was petition signed, there was emails sent to the board by people who also would be impacted, who live in the agricultural district. And they cannot be overlooked either. I know there's some people here from the agricultural district that did speak and did they are affected, but there are also other people that are affected that also spoke and make their feelings known. So I think their opinions and stuff to be taken into consideration too. They will be impacted, but they have a different view than maybe some other people. But we've got to sit down and figure this thing out and see what direction we're going to go instead of just kicking this can down the road for another 2 years.
I'm going to kick the can down.
3 years.
Not absolutely not. I have no intention of moving forward.
Yes,
but that's not good.
We've got the point.
The
living hanging. I used the wrong term. We're just leaving this thing hanging and just getting over. I don't think it's respectful for anybody involved.
So we mentioned the petition, which I think you would agree that not only do we have individuals who sign up on a mass media email that weren't from our town. They weren't from our town. They actually weren't from our state. That is the issue.
Well, the thing is, you're very active when you say that, because if those online petitions, you do it. What I think is I went through every one of those signatures on that petition, and the only ones that I counted, the numbers that I brought up and worked on, were people who lived in the zip codes that are included in the town or all. So those were the only ones included in any numbers that I was
looking at. That town, yeah, for the other people.
Well, the thing is, we have to, I'm sure there's a fact in there, some of them might have been before that, but I'm saying that I did narrow it down that far so it wasn't craziness from Ohio and stuff. I mean, that'd be great.
Any other businesses?
So we're not going to make any kind of move. Any game plan to put a period of this
thing? Apparently not at this time. So moving on.
So we're going to kick it down the road.
You can characterize it as you will. I'll characterize it as part of the title wish. But
I can say one thing. I guess that I would go back to letting Councilman Cassidy get the answers he wanted on the overlay district from council, and then we can, from there, he sends us a couple of things saying that he did, he asked and reached out so we get his last couple of things.
Okay, not
good. No, you're good.
Do you have any information that didn't get to Zavala about an overlay district? See, that could be a good compromise. I don't know. But if you can get that information, and that would at least move us closer to maybe some kind of compromise. Because you have these people here and these people here, and let's try to find some middle ground to get to everybody will get 100%, but maybe we can get something that will work.
But I know as it's written right now, I think the sticking point is percentage of acreage on what's considered prime farmland, right? And we have since received information from Ag Markets that the organization that protects agricultural land, not the organization that is pro energy development, NYSERDA, which we originally owned NYSERDA, we received some additional information from Ag Markets that gave us some. That gave us some guidance on acreage allowable, and that's been our biggest sticking point. Would you agree? Acreage allowable?
It's
right now zero.
Setting it in prime farm. Right. That's our biggest sticking point.
And so I'm not trying to ignore it, but I also don't want to go back and forth on any sort of numbers if we are so far apart. That's really where I am on that. I mean, there's some compromise on some of the peripheral stuff, maybe, but I don't. The biggest point of contention here is prime farmland and soils, and that's the only reason at this point where I'm stuck in water, stuck in mud, because I don't see all of the work, and I respect the opinions by all based on the knowledge that we've gained. From what we've been able to read and learn about and never been able to talk to. But I am not interested in that workshop at this point because I don't see that ever, that point moving on that at this point for me.
Right. But the thing is, too, if we had a workshop, we could all bring all the information, all the stuff that we gathered, all the opinions for both our service and stuff, and sit down and discuss them rather than just throwing out the thing. Because I don't have all my stuff in front of you. You don't have all your stuff in front of you.
No, but we've all
agreed. We have a workshop and we're stuff, and we just share our opinions on the opinions and the guidance from the different agencies. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of hard to do it off the top of your head and trying to do it now. That's why I'm thinking a workshop might be beneficial. We have a workshop, we could also talk about alternatives to what you feel. tracing and pan car lines, and it's talking about a couple of different ideas.
I respect the energy you put forward, JD. That's the number that I am. So it's, you know, I'm not going to tell you to stop. I just want to
tell
you kind of where I am. So,
I respect that.
I wish we could have that kind of energy for all the issues facing the town to deal with that. So, with that, any other business?
I don't think snide remarks are necessary myself. But
you did not?
No, I didn't get snide remarks. That's okay. I used them.
So, we'll move on to privilege of the floor. Any member of the public wish to be heard? If so, please state your name for the record. You have 3 minutes to address the board.
Luke Michaels, Michael Combs. I am talking today in reference to the project we're building off of Bluebird Road, Winterberry. So there is currently, it's been an ongoing situation to where there was some activity on the site on town property and three pieces of property that were sold and transferred from us. So these are new private owners, and they had work done on their property as well as town property. And after the work was completed, I was informed that we now have a SWIP issue on the site. And as part of that, I was asked to update my SWIP, do some research into it, and present to the planning board. I presented to the planning board on December 15th. At that meeting, it was discussed that the planning board would have to discuss with the town council about how to move things forward. Since I hadn't heard anything about this, I submitted three building permits, three buildings left to complete. I submitted three building permits in December of 2021. I still don't have those permits back. I called the town. I called the town staff. And I was told that I wasn't going to get those permits until the SWIP issue was dealt with. I don't know how to deal with the SWIP issue. It was on town property. There was a contract in place associated with this work between the town and the contractor. In that contract, it expressly said that the finished grade will also be achieved in such a manner so that the operation of the stormwater management system for the subdivision remains intact upon completion of the work. So in that, it said that this would not affect my SWIP. I never got to see this. I never signed it. I knew nothing about it. It goes on to say, upon the completion of the project, the contractor shall notify the SMO, stormwater officer, so final inspection can be made. The SMO will inspect the finished project area and notify the contractor if the area is finished in the manner specified in the work scope. Or if not, the SMO will provide a written list of deficient items for the contractor to resolve. I don't know that that's been done. I think it should be done, but I'm being asked to be further involved in this, and I am happy to work with the town on this, but I will stand here and ask for these three building permits. I did not want to bring this to the town board, but since I was here tonight in another manner, I said I'm going to stick around and ask the question. I've been in contact with the building inspector, Jim Martin, and town council, and I'm not getting any answers, so I figured it would be worth my time to hang out tonight and ask the board for your assistance on this. If you have any questions, I can answer them. We have to, but I appreciate it.
So, I'm well aware of that. I'm apprised by town council on a regular basis.
Okay.
We are in it because I understand the issues for you and the issues for the town. I do know that my most recent update was yesterday.
Okay.
From town council. I know she's had conversations directly with you in relation to all three building permits, or certificate occupancies, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, she provided a pathway to get those on two, and I thought that you were going to approve the third.
I have not been provided any path. I was told about a month ago that I could get from the building inspector that I could get two permits, and he was going to hold one back, and he would figure it out. I haven't gotten any permits yet. I'm still waiting on three since December. And my issue is that building permits are entirely separate from a SWIP permit. SWIP is for the developer. These are building permits, and they are two totally separate issues. There is no reason why we can't continue to have building permits and address any issues that might be out there, but let's not hold up these three people that I have in contract that are itching to get in their homes.
So, as you're well aware, the town board is not vested with the authority to issue building permits or anything like that. So obviously it has to come from the building department. However, I can reach out to council tomorrow and find out what needs to happen, either on the town side or on your side. And that sounds like Sarah does now, to have a successful, to successfully address the issue. But I can't give you a solution tonight without talking to
her. And I understand that, and I just wanted to ask for your assistance in supplying these permits to me. They've been since December, and we've been waiting patiently. This is a separate issue from SWIP. You want to talk about the SWIP and those permits? Fine, I'm good. But these are building permits, so it's totally separate. So, and I appreciate your assistance.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone. Pat Killian, 169 Burt Road. A few questions that they have. Just to set the record straight as far as what we have for addresses, zip codes, people that were here at the meeting, it was overwhelming the amount of response that we had with people, the influx of information of solar, coming in. People all over the country, and little did I know that once we started getting these, so many emails, the influx of information from ag markets, NYSERDA, and when we did the numbers there too, based on the people that are in the town of Moreau, the village, whether it's whatever it's left in the falls, the percentages came out for 92% yay, 8% nay. So 92% were for solar of our project. So I'm not sure, based on, and again, all the other information that we're getting from other people, all over the country is irrelevant. But based on our town, those are the numbers that, if you do the math, it was 92% for, 8% against. So I'm not sure as far as how we go or move forward. Whether we do a motion again, I'm not sure how this works. Being new to this, but I would like to proceed forward with maybe either redoing a vote in our town again, to, whether it's the workshop or having another moratorium. I'm not really sure if we can do that, but to come up with another number there too, based on the public, their advice again, people's input as far as what, how, why. Maybe we can hopefully get this situated as far as some of these questions there that everybody has. I haven't heard any questions, and I know based on just sitting through the other business, nobody else has any other questions. So the last thing is the, I'm going to call it Tiered South project in the industrial park there too, that solar has either been passed or yet it's in the works of the process being allowed solar. I'm just curious as far as how you guys came to the terms, allowing that or possibly allowing it.
Well, I think it's premature to say that how you characterize the town as allowing it.
Yeah.
We're required by law to follow the process, but we're following. We have a landowner that has requested multi-use on his parcel on 197, which is the T-Bird South to refer to. Under the PUD requirements, we have to take it up and refer to planning. I think it's before we get involved in it. I know the planning board has been incredible. projects that are interested in locating in town. So, you know, there's no more for the town board to do until we get that formal recommendation or comments from the planning.
Sure. Okay. One last thing, and then my time is up.
Well, but you also want the industrial park. You asked about that. That's something
similar. It's a combination of both, right?
Well, industrial park so has always been the only spot where the commercials. So, again, that wasn't nothing with our sport either. That's the spot in town where it's alive. So that's separate from anything else.
But also involved in the same project?
No.
Okay.
Completely different project.
Sure.
Not really. So that's. It didn't get additional support from our board. It's just, it's going through planning.
Yep. Okay.
It has nothing to do with anything in our board.
Sure. Okay. So before, you know, the next thing is, like you guys had said before, you know, as far as doing a workshop, you know, moving forward as far as maybe with the public, and I really don't want to do it in the moratorium, but maybe that's what we have to do. So just to think about it, digest it. And I will, like I said, email you guys, depending on you know, what's happening. And we can go from there, but at least digest that as far as, you know, possibilities of, you know, the recalibration, if you will, as far as the overlay, which might be a possibility. But to just throw it out and say, well, we don't really want to do anything and not moving forward, but we can see what we can do. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Any other member of the public wish to be heard? Before we understand motion to adjourn, I would like to thank my confidential secretary, Mrs. Berry, who one has to put up with me on a daily basis, whether I'm here or working at the county, and she was present for all of my meetings. So appreciate her assistance on the sign-ins for a public hearing and getting us some documents that we needed to copy. So thank you. Doing that. So with that, I also want to thank our pinch hitter for filling in for our clerk and operating in the capacity of the title of deputy clerk. So thank you very much for that. And with that, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor? Any opposed? Amen.
So
I need to not go.